everybody. Welcome back to Is This a Ghost? Who, me? I'm Clayton Smith. And every week, I tell a real ghost story from real history to my buddy, Patrick. There he is. Hey, say hi to the folks,
hey,
Patrick.
Hey, I'm here this week.
He's really here. He'll be here the whole time, probably. But he won't take the story real seriously.
I'm not liking the season three opening you've redone here. I don't like this.
Well, if we're going to do seasons, I'm going to have fun with it. I don't know if I like this tea.
Which kind is that?
Wild Mountain Air?
I mean,
blend?
Can't you just like go outside and
maybe
and suck and get some?
Yeah, I can. And I often do. I often do. The neighbors don't like it.
I'm having a big old goldfish bowl size mug of stress relief tea.
Yeah, look at the tea babies tonight.
Yeah. I also have a pale ale for when I finish that. So, stress relief tea, stress relief chaser.
Are you feeling stressed?
I am. And do you want to know why?
I'd love to know why.
And do you want to know why?
Tell me why.
Because Moana 2 sucked. It was so bad.
Really?
It was quite bad. It was laughably bad.
That's hard to hear. However, I will remind you that I didn't swallow the first Moana Kool-Aid too much. I mean, it's fine. I liked it, but I think that's the wrong one to really set your sights on for a good follow-up. So what happened? What's wrong?
I mean, the history of it is that it was supposed to be a series on Disney Plus, and then they determined that they could make more money. That the animation quality itself was good enough to put in the theaters. And so they took an entire, I don't know how many episodes, 8, 10, whatever episodes, and just kind of smushed it all down into a movie-ish.
Do you get a cliffhanger every 30 minutes or so?
Right about, yeah. Yeah, give or take. Yeah, about every 22 minutes or so. Some big thing happens, and then the music swells, and then they go black, and then it comes back. It's really weird.
It's so weird.
Yeah, it's very, very strange. And then about every 9 minutes in the movie, there's a Hims commercial, which is odd. I thought that was... I didn't know what that was all about.
Hey, if you're watching Moana 2, we know what you're thinking. You want to get hard.
We know you're having a very difficult time getting it up in this children's movie, so... So bad.
I could see where that would be upsetting, yeah.
So terrible.
Really?
Yeah, I'm sure you'll see it someday, and I just want to get it out there as early as I possibly can. Do not watch that movie and think, huh, I figured after Patrick's, intense love of the original Moana, this would have been pretty decent. No, I'm telling you right now, avoid it.
So they didn't consult you on this?
They did not, no. I mean, there were some emails that I didn't respond to, but no, I didn't end up doing anything.
Yeah, that's too bad.
The rumor was, and we can cut this if Disney's going to sue us. The rumor was that they had contracted with some sort of outside animation studio, they had paid them based on it being a Disney Plus show, right? And apparently, the contract gets written in a very specific way. There's no I don't know what you would call it. Royalties or box office certainly or anything like that. And after they saw the original, after they saw the animation coming back in, Disney decided to turn it into a theater movie, but did not change the contract with the animation studio, who then missed out on all of the box office for it. Which Moana just, I don't know if you've been watching the news, just cleared $1 billion at the global box office.
Yikes!
So, but.
I want to get a lawyer. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Ooh, that's that's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway,
oh, cool.
Regardless.
That's weird because Disney is like a famously cool company.
They really are. They've famously only gotten sued a handful of times for doing this exact shit in the last
in the last, years. I don't know, 7 minutes? So really strange. Really strange.
Anyway, so there's that.
Yeah, that's one. What else? What else you got?
What else? But you know what? When I do feel stressed, when I need to come down a little bit, you know what I need in my mouth, Clayton? Some.
Is it soup drops?
Some soup drops. I need a soup drop.
I was hoping we would come to soup drops next because I have so many questions. So the soup drops. Mm-hmm. Soup drops. Do you want to explain what soup drops are?
I'm afraid I don't have a whole lot more explanation than you probably do, but I will attempt. Soup drops are they are allegedly cough drops made by the Progresso company. And instead of tasting like, I don't know, mentholiptus or, you know, any sort of berry or whatever the Ricola ones are flavored like, they're flavored like soup, like chicken soup. So you just pop one of those chicken soup cough drops in your mouth and Willy Wonka style, it dissolves away, as, you know, part of a balanced meal, I assume.
If you've ever had a spoonful of chicken broth and thought, if only this were solid, Progresso has
but not a chicken. Yeah. But I don't like chicken. No, not solid like that.
And I'm seeing now Forbes has a great headline that I think sums this whole thing up nicely. Progresso soup drops explained. Has convenience culture reached its peak?
Mm.
And it's way more convenient to get your soup as a cough drop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Than in a bowl.
Yeah, exactly. Just don't ask that girl who's swelling up like a blueberry in the corner. She doesn't get a vote, I'm afraid.
I hate to say this, but I'm kind of interested in trying them.
So I thought I would too with the Thanksgiving sodas, and I was wrong about the Thanksgiving sodas.
Well, that's true. That's a good cautionary tale. The Jones Thanksgiving sodas were a mistake. And
man.
The problem with the sodas is then you have like what is it, 6 or 12?
Yeah. Yeah,
you like then you've got so many.
Like you a have turkey.
To drink them.
Yeah, and you want to start off, you know, you want to go in order with the Jones. So for anyone not aware, the Jones Thanksgiving sodas are a six pack of sodas produced by the Jones Soda Company. And each soda is flavored like a dish from Thanksgiving. There's a cranberry soda, usually what you want to start off with, you know, mm-hmm. because that way you get one decent one out of the way. And then they proceed through green beans. I think corn is one.
Is there like potatoes and gravy? Is that one?
There is. I think mashed potatoes and gravy is one. There might be a stuffing one, and then finally, oven roasted turkey soda. And if you can drink all of it, you can earn a lot of cred with me.
You've just won a lot of money from your friends because it's bad. Let's see what's on the list here. Yeah. Let's see. We got turkey, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God! It just looks foul. It looks like the drippings of the turkey.
Mm-hmm.
That might be all this is. All right, what do you open up? What do you got here? Oh, it's on eBay. You can get it on eBay if you need it for $102.99 from this eBay user.
That'll come down. That'll come down by Thanksgiving. That'll come way down.
It's actually cheapest right after Thanksgiving. Weirdly, can't say it doesn't list the flavors. I don't know. This has been an exercise in futility. I don't want to do it anymore. It's bad. It's bad. But I think soup drops, if as bad, you only have to have. Well, I guess that's not true. I guess there's probably 100 soup drops in the canister. So maybe that's not right. Okay. What else is stressing you out?
I think that's all. I think that's it. That's the whole
list. So Elon doing the Nazi salute a couple times during the inauguration of the new president. That's fine.
Water off a duck's back right there. who hasn't accidentally done that?
Who among us hasn't beat our chest and thrown it into a Sig Heil?
Mm-hmm.
In honor of a democratically elected president mm-hmm. of a free country.
Exactly.
Cool. It's cool. This is going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Life for a while is going to be fun.
I got to say, I don't think there's ever been a baseball season that I've been counting down the seconds until it begins like I have this year because I need some sort of daily distraction. Like,
please fill my feed with baseball.
Please, God.
Please. This is part of the reason that I'm officially a football fan again.
Ah, yeah, well, that's another good option.
It's a good one right now, and mm-hmm. it's really good for me because now that we live in Virginia, my hometown team is the Washington Commanders.
Oh, okay.
And they're doing pretty well. They just they're heading to the playoff for the NFC Championship for the first time in I think 33 years.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's been fun. It's been good, and I need them to go all the way to the Super Bowl. Partly, so it'd be fun if they won, but mm-hmm. mostly, so I just have something else coming down my feed that I don't have to pay attention to what's going on outside of football in the world.
Yep, I think the Super Bowl is on the 9th of February, and pitchers and catchers report on the 10th of February. So you just got
we're close. We're so close. If I can get to the Super Bowl, I'm right there. Now, are you ready to hear a ghost story?
Yes.
But first, we are sponsored this week by Smart Labels.
Ooh, buddy. Ooh, I'm eating good this week.
Having lots of soup drops this week. Two bags.
I'll have to look up the Smart Label for where I stash the microwave, because I'm going to be eating this week.
It's the end of January, which means we are kicking off this year. There's no stopping it. We thought maybe we could stop it, but we can't. We can't. It's unstoppable. It's like a freight train barreling down the tracks right at our faces, and we're in it. So if you're going to be in it, you better clean your act up. Better get your acting gear and reset your life. Mm-hmm. You and Jesus need to have a meeting about the state of your life, and you got to fix it. It's gonna be a long year. All right. We don't have time to be tripping over junk.
And Jesus wakes up February 1. I'll tell you. He takes January off. It's pretty obvious. I mean, think from anybody that's experiencing this January, Jesus has been taking the whole fucking month off.
Haven't seen hide nor hair of Jesus.
February 1, he stirs.
Yep. And you don't want him to catch you with a dirty house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Stuff all over the ground. So you might be using those old labels, the ones where you just like stuff and it's things in a box and you put like masking tape and you're like, attic stuff. And then later you're looking for your attic stuff and you're like, why do all these boxes say attic stuff? I didn't think this through very well. What is in these boxes? Smart Labels is a solution for you. Smart Labels are color-coded, QR-coded stickers that you slap on your boxes, your bins, your bags, your bobs, your bits, your baubles, whatever you're putting up in your attic or your basement, your cellar, the dark recesses of your bedroom where you keep all your secrets. Wherever you put things that you want to find again sometime later, Smart Labels is for you. You put them on those containers. You open up the Smart Labels app. You take a picture of that QR code, and it opens up the sticker in your phone. Then you can give it a label. You can take a picture of what's in the box. You can take a picture of where the box is in your house, which part of the attic you stored it in or whatever. And then you just store it. And then you close the app and you leave the box and you close the door. You forget about all the weird stuff you've got in there until next time you need it. And then you just say, where's that weird stuff? Where is that spaghetti ball gag that that I had specially made for that one time we went to Canada? And you just type in spaghetti ball gag, I guess. And I'm instantly regretting this pull. But you can just put that in there. And then you'll find your spaghetti ball gag from your Canadian trip. And you'll know exactly where you put it. You just go straight to the box. And you don't have to spend all your time digging around through all those other ones.
Because it sounds like you're in a hurry. It really does.
You got no time to waste. So clean up your act and clean up your life before Jesus wakes up. With the help of Smart Labels, just go to Amazon and search Smart Labels. You'll find them. They got lots of cool colors that fit your lifestyle. Absolutely. No questions asked. Even if that lifestyle includes spaghetti ball gags that you get used in Canada that we shouldn't ask any questions about. Do you think that's the one?
I think that counts. No,
that David has say,
no problem.
I don't think so.
No All problem right. with that. I was going to make a joke about how over the next 4 years, you're going to have to be hiding a lot of stuff from people.
girls in attics, perhaps?
Yeah, and then I thought, maybe David wouldn't like that so much.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, better for him to just experience it on his own.
I think so.
As it unfolds.
Hey, guys, I'm going to be paying you this week in Trump coin. I hope you'll accept it. I have thousands of them. No, David.
You see, Melania became a billionaire within minutes of releasing the Melania meme coin.
Yeah.
Days ago.
I assume it's some sort of way to like avoid the SEC and
oh, yeah,
FEC or whatever.
People are so stupid. People are so stupid.
Yeah. That stuff doesn't really bother me as much because that's like, I mean, that's... like P.T. Barnum type stuff. I can't really be too mad at that.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, Patrick, because I am here to announce the new launch of Ghost Coin.
Damn it!
Coming up next week. It's got Patrick's face on it, but it's his face as if he were a ghost. And it's really fun. And each one comes with an NFT of Patrick's head on Naked Abe's body. Just doing a little dance, little sexy dance.
You're going to really like it. Not perched atop his body, just resting against it.
Just nuzzling, really. Sweet, sweet nuzzles. All right. Now are you ready to hear a ghost story?
I was ready a few minutes ago.
Yeah. That one didn't count. It's a little quiet. Oh, Abby's been playing with the... Hold on. We don't ever get the full effect of that.
There it is.
There you go. Oh, boy. Welcome back to our Ozark Suite. This is a reminder. We're doing some Ozark stories over the few weeks here to lay some groundwork for a D&D game that we will never create. Real visionaries here. It is this a ghost. Now, on September 7th, 1876, the Missouri Division of the Atlantic and Pacific Railroad officially incorporated the St. Louis-San Francisco Railway.
Okay.
You might see this on the sides of trains even today as the SLSF.
Mm-hmm.
But this is more commonly known as the Frisco.
Mm-hmm. There is a Frisco bridge that I drive under several times a month, actually.
Very nice. Very nice bridge, probably.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's used anymore, but it still says it on there, at least.
It's got the little logo on there?
Mm-hmm. It does.
Well, the Frisco had two main lines, and those lines went from St. Louis to Tulsa to Oklahoma City to Floydada, Texas.
Right, yeah.
Sure. And the other line went from Kansas City to Memphis to Birmingham.
Sorry.
You don't have to do that. Jeremy can just cut that sound out. You don't have to try to cough over it. I would just note that the San Francisco line does not go to San Francisco, which I find very fun.
Oh, okay. Like Frisco, Tennessee or something, or
I think the line eventually goes to San Francisco,
but not that line.
Like, but not that line.
Yeah.
It actually funny that you ask. Fun fact.
Wham!
The city of Frisco, Texas was actually named after the railroad. So yeah, you're pretty close.
There we go.
And it uses the former railroad's logo as the town logo.
Okay.
Now, you're familiar with this logo. I'm familiar with this logo. Good old Missouri boys that we are. But I want to put it on the video here just for folks.
Here she is.
On YouTube. There she is. Now, the fun fact continues. This logo is modeled after a stretched out raccoon skin, which I did not know.
But now that I've been told that, boy, is it impossible to not see it anymore.
Sure makes sense when you look at it like that.
Poor Frisco. Poor Frisco.
And this is why the Frisco High School in Texas, their mascot is the Fighting Raccoons.
The Fighting Alive Raccoons?
They didn't fight very well if this is how they ended up. Isn't that something? Oh, man. All right. So the corporate offices for the Frisco were in St. Louis, Missouri at 906 Olive Street.
Mm-hmm.
Right downtown. So this is a few blocks from Bush and only one block away from the downtown location of Pharaoh's Donuts.
Goodness gracious.
I miss Pharaoh's.
Mm-hmm.
Strange Donuts. And right underneath there, that's Pharaoh's. Pharaoh's right there. But Pharaoh's Donuts does not exist at this point, so no one's very interested in working out of that building. So the actual base of operations for the Frisco was where those two Missouri lines met, which was right at their junction.
Mm-hmm.
In the town of Springfield, Missouri.
Oh.
Big railroad town, Springfield.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know?
Had to be something there. Because, by God,
it's not a whole much community there now.
It's not much to look at.
Boy. Where are we here? Now, So there's, of course, now there's quite a few Frisco executives living in Springfield now. In the early 1900s. And one of them is a man whose name is Harry Werman.
I couldn't think of a grosser name to give somebody if you gave me 10 shots. Harry Werman?
I don't know why you decide to go by Harry if your last name is Werman.
I mean, this is definitely your clubbing name. This is definitely your, like, out in the town, like, hey, we look who's in the club tonight. Look who, he's Harry Werman.
Oh, he sure is. Yeah. So Harry moves to Springfield along with his wife, Dorothy, to help run Frisco operations. And I got a picture for you of the Wermans, the Harry Wermans. He's our guy.
That's not. He's okay. Yeah, I maybe not quite the club master I thought he was going to be.
It is a super punchable face, yeah, though.
It really is, yeah, very doughy.
I don't know what it is about it, but
very
it's
very smug, very doughy.
Yeah, yeah, it'd feel nice around your fingers for sure. And then there's Dorothy, and she likes to wear spikes on her head.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Was this back in the days whenever everybody's photos were actually on baseball cards for some reason? I'm confused.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on here with that. But that's our friends there. All right. So the Warmans move into Springfield. They like it there. They like Springfield. It's I'm sure it's very cosmopolitan.
They're the ones. Okay.
But of course, even though, you know, like the hustle and bustle of a big city is really cool.
Yeah.
And they got that in spades in Springfield.
Two Walmarts now.
Woo! Now, this is probably before the Bass Pro Shop was there, so I don't really know what they're doing in Springfield, but it's nice that they like it, but they like to get away from time to time. They get away from the hustle and bustle. You know, the Wormans, they desired a peaceful countryside retreat, and their search for a retreat property brought them south down to the White River.
Oh, beautiful area.
Oh, really? Because last week you said it was a bunch of garbage, and you don't know why anyone who grew up in the Ozarks would want to see more Ozarks.
This was before they opened the garbage plant on the White River, so this was, but it was very pretty back then.
Yes, you can't call that campsite the garbage. I don't care how many white people camp there. You can't call it that. It's not nice. Let's see. Now, in the 1950s, Table Rock Dam was built on the White River, as you know, I'm sure. This makes Table Rock Lake. But this was the 1920s, so before the dam was built, the whole area was still pretty much a river basin. And on the south end of that basin, there's a pretty deep holler. And down in that holler is a spring-fed pool that is so deep that the Native Americans, who were original to this part of the Ozarks, they told early settlers that it was a bottomless pit.
Oof. Was it?
And they, I don't.
I don't know. Who knows? Really?
I'm not saying no. It very well could have been something they were telling settlers to try to get them to please leave us alone.
Right. Yeah.
Which seems a little more plausible. But legend held that the pool was haunted by the spirits of early Native Americans. Mm-hmm. And that their souls would kind of congregate at this spring-fed pool.
Sure, sure. And then it was subsequently haunted by the spirits of all the rest of the Native Americans.
Yeah. Then they weren't just in the pool. There was some over there, some over there, some up on that hill over there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this is why this pool is called Devil's Pool.
Ooh.
And rumor has it that these ghosts still walk around Devil's Pool today.
Hmm.
So Harry Wurman sees this haunted bottomless devil's pit and he's like, okay, I think we've got a winner. This is our spot. So he and his neighbor, a man named Jude Simmons, they decide it would actually be really cute if they got best friend vacation homes down in the Ozarks.
Oh, that'd be
really
nice. That'd be nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Should we get best friend vacation?
I was thinking about it. I was thinking we could go halvesies on a timeshare at Table Rock Lake.
Hey, listen. You draw a line around the lake. Mm-hmm. You box out the strip of Branson.
Mm-hmm.
You got something.
I love it. I love it.
Now, that could be a membrane that we could pass through, like, ironically.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to go see, you know, the Bald Knobbers show. But it's not the worst place to end up for vacation. It's not the best place to end
up. It's definitely not the best place. No.
It's better than Lake of the Ozarks.
Oh, God. Is it ever.
So they go down there together. They see the Devil's Pool holler, and they're smitten. So Harry buys part of the land, and Jude buys the other part. They split this parcel, which it's a pretty big parcel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Harry and Dorothy plan on building a house that'll serve as a weekend retreat and also an estate for hosting very fancy parties for their friends.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I need you to drive down here about an hour and a half, okay? It's going to be a lot of mountains. The roads are super dark. It's pretty treacherous.
And it's the 1920s.
You'll hear so many gunshots, and you'll feel them as they hit your car. Mm-hmm. But if you get there, it's pretty fancy. So they get to work on building a house. They build a house that's it boasted an array of luxurious amenities, including running water.
Oh.
Electric lights. Mm-hmm. And Taney County's first telephone.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know how so convenient it is to have the first telephone. Like,
you gotta, it's everything's long distance,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
You gotta, it's a real brag because you're like, oh, this only makes long distance calls.
He's going to town and trying to talk other people into buying telephones all day long. That's all you do.
Please.
Would you like to talk to me? Like, not right now, but
I'm
like,
so lonely down phone here. Would you like to talk to me without looking at my face? Mm. Actually, I kind of would.
This
you're
punchable
selling me more and yeah more. So most folks in the Ozarks wouldn't have these amenities for decades still. And having spent a lot of time down there, I think a lot of them still haven't moved their toilets and doors. Oh boy. Let's see. They had a chauffeur who had his own rooms above the garage. The caretaker lived in the neighboring cottage. And they even had a chef there who prepared meals using, and I quote, exotic meats.
Exotic Southern Missouri meats?
I don't know, and that's a really important distinction.
I can think of three, and that's it.
One of them is a raccoon. I'm going to really honor the company by eating dead raccoon. Now
we get one free one a week. It's great.
It comes already skinned. They use the skins for the signs. Now, Harry wasn't a religious man, but Dorothy is a pretty strong Catholic. So Harry also has a glass chapel built on the front of the house.
Oh, a glass chapel.
Yeah.
Sounds like a really cool, like, death metal band. I like that.
It does sound cool. So here is the house. Obviously, this is today.
The Worman House.
I don't know if this sign that says the Worman House was there.
There was a house on East Campus in college. It was also called the Worman House, but it didn't mean this.
Oh, boy. And here is a picture of the house.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Nice?
I would say very understated, you know.
I think so.
Compared to some of the other lavish Midwestern mansions we've seen.
Yes. I mean, it's big, but it's only like one or one and a half stories, mm-hmm, and it's not, it's mm-hmm nice. It's actually kind of hard to get a picture of it. Like, there's so many trees around it, and it's not really like, doesn't really stick out. Mm. Here's another angle.
That's the glass chapel there, right?
Chapel.
Gotta be.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the house. Pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
So where are we here? It's a great house. Now, Dorothy, she's quite a bit younger than her husband, Harry Worman.
Mm-hmm.
She's about half his age.
Ooh, okay.
And that gleam of youth made her stand out in Branson in the 1920s. It's not a lot of young, glamorous women from the city hanging out around those Klansmen.
Yeah,
in those days. So, and she's also a little eccentric, like in the way that, like, you know, effortlessly rich people are.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, she once scandalized the entire town one day by showing up at the post office wearing only her swimsuit.
Oh, all right. Was it one of those neck to ankle jobs or something like that?
Yeah, it was basically a dress without the bustle.
You can see her heathenous curves.
I feel the poison welling in my waist once again down below the belt. I hate, that's how I know it's bad. That's
also, will she be back tomorrow? I must know.
What's her address? I must send her a letter about how inappropriate this is that she will pick up here at the same time every day. Is that correct?
P.O. Box, eh? Okay, I can deal with that. I can deal with the P.O. Box.
So she's pretty eccentric. The people there think she's a little on the wild side. And she's also pretty lonely. I guess Harry's often away on business trips.
Mm-hmm.
He's in San Francisco or St. Louis a lot, and, you know, everywhere. So she spends her time, you know, part of the time in Springfield, part of the time down here, and just is just on her own a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So for that reason, and maybe some other things going on, but mostly I think the isolation, their marriage starts to deteriorate.
It's a shame.
Not great after a while. Yeah. So it's very shocking. Everyone is totally surprised when Dorothy starts having an affair with one of the groundskeepers.
Oh no. I mean,
yeah, it's okay. I think we're okay with it.
The world's most punchable face is getting cheated on. Oh, no.
Oh, no. The groundskeeper, he's a young, handsome, illegal from Mexico named Enrique Romero.
Boy, that sounds difficult to resist. I'll be perfectly honest.
Absolutely. He's just walking around with roses in his mouth all day long. Mm-hmm. You say no to that.
Mm-hmm.
Impossible.
Doesn't speak a breath of English.
No. But his body just exudes oil. It's so weird, but his just like, he's got oil on his whole body. It just glistens. It's amazing. They fall in love, and Dorothy tells Harry, she's like, look, I'm basically banging the pool boy. I feel like maybe we should just end this.
Yeah.
And Harry's like, yeah, it seems, I feel compelled to agree. I think at this point.
Sure.
Yeah. So they get divorced. Now, I don't know how exactly she finagles it, but Dorothy manages to keep the house in the Ozarks.
Oh, well, I mean, that's where the pool boy lives, so it makes sense.
That's true. Can't really get him out of there.
It would be a little awkward if she lost the house and he came to visit every few months and was like, hey, Enrique, bushes out front are looking a little scraggly. Yes, senor, I've been very busy. Very busy.
Been working on the bushes on the inside. Yeah.
They are also scraggly.
So she and Enrique live in the house for a while. But after a few years, they decide they're going to move back to Mexico.
Oh.
Going to move to Enrique's home.
Good for her.
Mm-hmm. So
Is it as nice as this house?
I don't know the answer, but we're gonna, in a way, we'll answer that question shortly.
Okay, great.
So you will come back to that question, and you can tell me. So Dorothy closes up the house, like she prepares to leave, but she doesn't sell it. She's keeping it.
Sure.
She can come back if she wants
for
holiday or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But she never does make it back. Not alive, at least, because about a year later, Dorothy is discovered dead in a hotel bathtub in Mexico City.
Oh, no. Was it an accident?
Must have been a really bad house. Well, they had an autopsy, and it revealed an overdose of sleeping pills.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And interestingly, her husband, Enrique, never found.
Oh, well, I mean,
disappears, never seen again.
Not much left for him there at that point. Let's be honest.
What I can do with this? Yeah. It's all wet. So she dies down there, sadly. Now, she doesn't have a big community in Mexico, especially not with, with Enrique on the lam. And so everyone in this hotel is like, well, what do we do with this woman? So they decide to cremate Dorothy.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah. I mean, listen.
Yeah.
Because they're going to ship her back to the Worman house is their plan. Mm-hmm. Now, you put her in a box, that's freight.
This is the most affordable way to get her home.
Man, international freight is no joke.
Imagine the family on the phone with them, like, and you're going to ship her body back, right? See?
So... They cremate her. Her ashes are sent back to the Worman house. At the Worman house, there is a funeral held.
Mm-hmm.
If you can call it a funeral. Is it called a funeral if no people show up?
Oh, I don't know what that's called. Is there a name? I don't know. I don't know if we have a name in English for that. I know there's one in German, but I don't think we have one in English.
The only person in attendance, besides Dorothy, you can count her, I guess, is the pastor who said the prayers. A young man named Dr. Graham Clark.
Mm-hmm.
He said a few words, and then he said a few words and spread her ashes on the back porch.
It is so cold outside. I am not going out there. She liked the porch.
Okay. I'll open the door and I'll throw them out from here. I will put them outside.
Oh, they've all blown back in. Oh, they've all blown back in. Well, she liked the porch. It said she liked the porch.
So that's where she lives now.
in the floorboards of the porch.
Oh, man. And today the Worman House is part of the resort at Big Cedar Lodge.
Oh, really? Interesting. Yes, okay. I was wondering why all the photos were like really, really well staged. That makes sense.
Yeah. Now it's the home of a fine dining restaurant for the resort. Do you want to, for those not familiar, do you want to kind of give a rundown of Big Cedar Lodge?
Oh, it's the nicest place in southwestern Missouri.
Oh, hands down?
Easily. Not the
nicest
close.
Place. In Missouri,
With all the scenery and whatnot. I mean, it's just an extremely lavish resort in southwest Missouri.
Yeah, run by one of the biggest bigots that we got.
Down correct. There, I think. Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Johnny Morris. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, it's tough to go to Big Cedar because it's really gorgeous and it's fun to be there and it's got great stuff. You can do a cave tour on a golf cart.
Mm-hmm.
It's the coolest. But also you're giving all your money to someone who is super anti LGBTQ plus, like militantly. So it's tough. The best scenario here is if you can get like your in-laws or your parents, or maybe your aunt and uncle to like pay for your trip down there. Cause they're going to spend that money there anyway, let's be honest. And you can just kind of enjoy it, you know, and be like, I don't agree with it, but thank you. This is nice.
But the golf cart ride. Very
So anyway, so now there's a fine dining restaurant in the Worman House, and it is very haunted by the ghost of Dorothy Worman, thanks in no small part to Dr. Clark, I assume, just deciding to spread her ashes on the back porch. She apparently shows up pretty often. Visitors will describe seeing a young woman with brown hair wearing a long white dress. Sometimes she shows up looking sad, wandering the grounds with her head down and weeping softly. She's also sometimes found kneeling in the chapel, lost in prayer.
Interesting.
I assume that prayer is, please God, kill me for real and get me off this fucking planet. I don't like it here anymore. Other times, though, she's playful and a bit of a prankster.
Interesting.
She's not always seen. Sometimes she's just heard, as was the case with one of the waitresses at the restaurant who gave an interview on Dorothy. On this waitress's first night closing up, she heard the clicking of a woman's shoes as if someone was running through the restaurant, and then heard the sound of a woman giggling. She turned around. There was no other woman there, but she could hear the Doppler effect of these shoes running by her, not attached to any feet or bodies or people. Sometimes Dorothy shows up in photographs taken by guests, usually as a reflection in the background.
Right, of course. Yeah, never like in frame or anything like that, but sure.
No, never like, what up? Never like photobombing. Yeah. Now, the restaurant really leans into the ghost story, which is always fun. They have a cocktail named the Flaming Dorothy, which I guess they light on fire, which frankly seems kind of disrespectful. They also have a drink called Dorothy's Old Fashioned, which is, it's like a regular old fashioned with two notable differences.
I'd say she sounded pretty new fashioned to me. From what I could tell, but
You're going to love this drink then. In addition to the bourbon, it has rum as well.
Oh,
which I can't help but wonder, is that a nod to like warmer climes? Like where it's obviously not a Mexican liquor, but
like if you're going to make an old fashioned with tequila or something, then okay. Right. I could see where we're going here. Not tasteful, but I can see where we're going.
No, but like if we do rum, it gives a little bit of hot weather, but it's more tasteful than tequila. Right.
Also, adding tequila to an old fashioned sounds fucking rancid. So I don't
God, that sounds awful. So they add rum as well as bourbon, and the second notable difference is it is smoked,
Ooh.
Which is a nod to the fact that Dorothy is a ghost
and that she came back to the U.S. in a box.
Yes, because they will include, if you've never had a smoked old fashioned, they usually have like a smoke gun and they'll put smoke in the glass and they'll cover it with something and you get to watch the smoke kind of flit around, just like Dorothy once did.
Sure. flitting around the porch in a dust cloud with the preacher coughing her out.
Yeah. Which I think this is great. This is, if I got to do a cocktail menu at a supposedly haunted, very fancy restaurant, I would absolutely do as many ghost related cocktails as I could.
It'll be so fun at your funeral when they're asking me to like design your signature drink at your funeral. Yeah. They're like, well, how did he die? But like, oh man, actually, yeah, that's good. We should totally have it that way. Well, let's see. He was hit by a train. So what's like getting hit by a train? It's gotta be vermouth, right?
I think it's Everclear.
Everclear is probably better. Yeah.
Depending on which state I die in, we'll get some Everclear.
And then he was cremated, so let's smoke it and have it in a tall glass. And that's Clayton's Clayton's funeral.
He fell down into a sinkhole in the earth down to this this little old mine that was covered up. So we'll put some activated charcoal in there.
A little bit of molasses because he drowned in his own fluids. And
I think we got something. I think we call it a day. So if you want to go visit Dorothy and try her cocktails, you can. Big Cedar is nice. Once again, you know, Johnny Morris hates the queer community, and that's not very fun. But it is a nice place. Mm-hmm. It's nice.
You could always do the old offsetting donation trick.
Oh, that's true.
That's a fun one.
That is a fun
one. That one lets you sleep at night.
Yeah.
Lets you enjoy the golf cart. Yeah. Offsetting donations.
Yeah. Go tour the cave in the golf cart and then give that also that same amount of money to whoever organization is going to help you sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's great. And that is the story of the Warman House and the ghost of Dorothy Warman at the Big Cedar Lodge. Did she just escape from your mouth? What's happening? Oh, man. There? Like, oh my God, Dorothy.
I don't know what the hell that was. big Wormin energy there, I'll tell you that much.
Big hairy Wormin. That's all that is. And that's what do you think? You like it? Good?
I do like it a lot. Yep. I love the hometown ghosts. The home state ghosts.
Now let me ask you, what story elements do you think you would pull from this to put into a tabletop role playing game?
Okay, well definitely Devil's Lake. Or Devil's Pool.
Devil's Pool. No,
I'm sorry, Devil's Pool.
Yeah.
That's
a good one.
Okay. And let me think. The trip to Mexico to die. That's a good one.
Yeah, being found dead in a hotel Mexico bathroom. Yep, good.
That's definitely one of your possible endings. Some sort of battle in the glass chapel, you know?
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
That's fun. Maybe you could battle the ghost in the glass chapel.
I like that idea. Yep.
That'd be kind of cool. Also, I like the best friends thing. Maybe you and your best friends go on a quest to find the right property together.
Yeah, they really gave up on the best friends thing way too early on this. Yeah. I feel like we really should have rolled that one out.
Well, they only rolled 6, so they couldn't finish out the storyline. But you can really pull that thread if you want. Okay, I'm taking those notes. We'll figure that out for when we do this RPG. And if you're interested in us doing an Ozarks, is this a ghost RPG? Let us know. It could be really fun because we could take all the ghosts we've done. We could just throw them in the Ozarks. I think it would be a lot of fun. But anyway, since I've been talking about our tabletop RPG, that means it's way past time for us to wrap up. So this Is This a Ghost is a production of Smith Show Media. All the notes this week were taken by me. My name's Clayton Smith. All the funny jokes were from my real friend, Patrick Dean. Our video editor is Jen Swanson. Our audio editor is Jeremy Montoya. Our social media team is Kai Valonis, Sam Murdoch, and Jen Jones. And I guess they're back on TikTok. Maybe we're on TikTok for the first time finally.
At this point. Who knows? Yeah.
So maybe go check us out over there because they're going to be putting up some more content there. We've been bad on TikTok in the past. And now feels like the right time to really focus on it. So
good old reliable TikTok.
And we've got a brand new merch team. Fox and Quill Studio is going to be working on some really fun new merch for us. So keep an eye out for that on the website in the coming weeks, coming months. And go check them out. Go find them online. Go follow them. Fox and Quill Studio. We're really excited to have them on board. So thank you to them. Thank you to the whole team. And thank you to you all for listening. And if you're enjoying all this, don't forget we have Ghost Plus. We do this like this, but more and better. Actually, we save the good stuff for Ghost Plus. So that's going to be it for us this week. Gosh, if I were you, I would, you know what? I would go to Branson. Go to the Ozarks, roll the dice. Just be careful. because you go to the wrong holler and you will be the next ghost on Is This a Ghost?